In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just a little while before Jesus' teaching in today's gospel, Jesus gets into some trouble with the Pharisees. He's been eating and socializing with all the wrong sort of people, and he's been doing things that upset the status quo. He's been seen with outsiders and tax collectors. He's been turning heads because he refuses to discriminate against those with whom he eats, about what Sabbath keeping means, and what fasting rituals are to be observed. He's upsetting a lot of important people, and really setting on its head what it means to be a person of faith. The word about Jesus has gotten out. Crowds have gathered around to be near him on the Sea of Galilee, coming as far away from Jerusalem to the south, and from the non-Jewish cities of Sidon and Tyre in the north along the Mediterranean coast, as far as 4 or 5 days' walk in any direction. Jews and Gentiles alike have traveled to Galilee to find Jesus and to be healed of their many physical and mental ailments. They have heard of his deeds of power, and they want to be made well. Luke tells us all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. It's only after Jesus heals them that he begins to teach them. He earns their trust, and they believe him because of their healing. It's then that Jesus is able to begin teaching them the things we hear in last week's gospel, the blessings and woes, Luke's version of the Beatitudes. And today's gospel is a continuation of Jesus' teaching. He's teaching people what it means to follow him. Jesus says that those who obey him love their enemies. Those who listen to him do good to those who hate them. Those who follow him bless those who curse them. Those who want to be his disciples pray for the people who abuse them. Those who walk in Jesus' way forgive rather than retaliate. Those who walk in his steps love their enemies, do good, and give generously. Jesus is not giving us a laundry list of do's and don'ts on how to earn God's love. Rather, for those of us who wish to follow him and to be worthy of him, he's teaching us how to make choices. He's setting the parameters of discipleship for his community of followers. If you study closely what Jesus is saying to the crowd that is gathered around him, you'll see that these are the same values that Mary proclaims as she sings the Magnificat. These are the values that Mary lovingly taught Jesus from the beginning, and all the while they were nurtured in him by God the Father's love. Most importantly here, Jesus is showing us his own heart of love and bids us to make our hearts more like his. Jesus, who is at one with God the Father, says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." This is what at the crux of all of Jesus' teaching. We are to be imitators of God's mercy. Mercy and grace are the foundations of what Jesus is saying. Truth be told, we're much more prone to like the notion of, say, karma. With karma, at least there's a sense of justice, right? Everything is fair. Everyone gets their just desserts. But friends, that is not at all how grace and mercy work in God through Christ. Think of it this way. Grace involves getting what you don't deserve. Mercy involves not getting what you do deserve. Grace and mercy are God's faithful and loving purposes for us. And at the nexus of mercy and grace, at that cross point, is forgiveness. When we hear Jesus say words like enemies, those who hate us, those who curse us, those who abuse us, I don't imagine it takes long for images to start appearing in our heads. In a highly divided country like ours, we can immediately start thinking of politics, or our crazy uncle, or our less than civil discourse, and our take no prisoners approach, and quickly come up with some examples. We can disagree, And they can be wrong. They can be as wrong as they can be. And through it all, we are all still held accountable for how we treat one another. Archbishop Desmond Tutu and his daughter Empo Tutu co-authored the Book of Forgiveness. They point out and make very clear that forgiveness is not forgetting the harm. Forgiveness is not allowing abuse. Forgiveness is not about forgetting the pain. It's not about pretending something is not really as bad as it was. True forgiveness only happens when we operate in full honesty. They say, quote, "Forgiving requires giving voice to the violations and naming the pains that we have suffered. Forgiving does not require that we carry our suffering in silence or be martyrs on a cross of lies. Forgiveness does not mean that we pretend things are anything other than what they are." I'll also add that forgiveness among those of us who wish to follow Jesus does not always lead to reconciliation. But sometimes we still can find healing even if reconciliation isn't possible. Forgiveness is about not seeking revenge. But perhaps it is about justice, if only to prevent further harm. Forgiveness is about gently tending to the anger inside us and not allowing resentment to fester. Forgiveness is a healing act that is not settled in a moment, but rather over longer periods of time. This week we will celebrate the feast of the English priest and poet George Herbert, who said, "He who cannot forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass." We are all broken in different ways by our own sins and by the sins of others. And often that pattern of brokenness is actually a vicious and abusive cycle. Forgiveness is a way of breaking the cycle. And in breaking the cycle of grudges and malice and hate and revenge, we begin to build a holy habit, a habit of forgiveness and love. That's what Jesus wants from us, not just one-offs of forgiveness. He wants it to be habitual in us, constantly doing it. Love and forgiveness are what Jesus wants to be the hallmark of those who bear his name. He wants this for us because forgiveness is our greatest human need. Being forgiven and forgiving others can totally change this world. We see it not only in Jesus' words to his followers, but we see it in action from the cross when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." When we were Christ's enemies, he loved us. When we hated him, he loved us. When we cursed him, he blessed us. When we abused him, he prayed for us. When we take without asking, he forgives all the more. Our hope is in the cross, where God in Christ promises not to judge or condemn. We have been shown infinite grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. How can we not want to share that and do the same for each other? To live this way in gratitude is the outcome of a heart that has been transformed by Jesus. As this season of Epiphany draws to a close next week and we begin thinking about our Lenten disciplines, may the Holy Spirit enfold us more and more through the love of Christ, that we desire nothing more than to imitate his heart of love. May our hearts be made more and more like his, so that this world may be so transformed by the grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love of God, that all of us may be accounted alive before God. Let us pray. O Lord, you have taught us that without love, whatever we do is worth nothing. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts your greatest gift, which is love, the true bond of peace and of all virtue, without which whosoever lives is accounted dead before you. Grant this for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.